in church today, amen? Boy, I can't tell if the weather's trying to get hot or cold out there. We turn the heat on in the morning and we turn the air on in the evening. And it just seems that's that time of year, amen? And well, you don't want to be a church that's lukewarm, right? Amen? You don't want to be hot and cold. We want to be hot for the Lord all the time. Take your Bible, please, and go with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I feel a sermon coming on. Amen? Like the old black preacher said, I can feel it in my toes. And it worked its way up my leg. It's in my tummy. And man, it just got out my mouth all of a sudden. Amen? Thank God for old-fashioned sermons and preaching. Don't you love the old-fashioned? I got a sermon of Billy Sunday on tape. And you know, Billy Sunday would, when he'd preach, he would take chairs and lift them up. And he'd throw a chair and break a chair because he was mad at the devil, you know. They said Billy Sunday ran 3 miles every sermon. That's what they say. And maybe that's how I ought to get my heart exercise in a little bit better if I do that. But I don't know. But man, I tell you what, those old-fashioned preachers, you can't beat them. Amen. And you know, you ought to love all kinds of preaching. Amen. There's quiet preachers and there's loud preachers. But I tell you what, they're preaching the word. We ought to have an appreciative heart. And thank the Lord for God's preachers and his word today. Well, I want to preach on the church this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And let's begin, please, with verse number 12. And trust you'll follow along in your Bible this morning as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the eye shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether all one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the church, Lord, that you established the pillar and ground of truth. And Lord, we thank you this morning we can be in your house. And God, we want to honor you and glorify your name. And Lord, we want to just let you know that we are your people. And God, I pray this morning you take thy word and reach into every mind, reach into every heart by thy word, Lord, and teach us thy truths, Lord, we pray. And God, may we be careful to praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the passage that we just read, we find the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking mainly and referring mainly to the church. And the church is a body. And it is one body in the Lord. That's the way the Lord is designed and established the church to be. He gives us many particular understandings of this. He teaches us what that means. Amen. And he shows us. But I want you to notice one thing. First of all, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in everybody in the body. He talks about here, verse 13, about this body. He said, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. That's spiritual baptism. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. Now, I like this passage of Scripture. I like this verse because God is saying, He said, it doesn't matter your background, where you came from. The church has a place for every saved, baptized believer in its body. Can I say, if you're not saved, you ought to trust Christ. Get saved. By the way, you never know when you're going to die. You never know. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be before you leave this building today that you enter into eternity. You never know. And if you're not saved, you'll end up in an eternal place called hell forever. So God wants you to be saved and get it settled. Amen? Once you get saved, you follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Amen? That's what they did in Acts chapter 2, verse 31. They added to the church such as should be. They that gladly received the word were baptized. They gladly received the word. They were saved. Then they were baptized. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. So God has an order to that, doesn't he? He says, when you get saved, you get baptized. And by the way, baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the Lord, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Baptism cannot save a person. I don't know how many people I know are confused by that. You ask them, are you saved? And sometimes a person will say, well, I was baptized when I was young. That's a whole different thing. Amen. Water baptism is different than spiritual baptism. Amen. So God said, be saved, be baptized, and then you ought to be a part of the church, be a member of the church. The Lord added to the church. Amen. And so that's God's order. God has a design. God has a plan. And then he likened it. And then he said to Jews, it doesn't matter if you're Jews or Gentiles. Now, this is interesting because God's saying right here, he's saying, it doesn't matter if you came from a legalistic background, if you got legal and then you got saved, or if you're a Gentile, you came from an idolatrous background and you got saved. I'll tell you something. We all get saved the same way. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter anything about your background, your past, your gender, your race. God says that anybody can be saved. And God doesn't want you just to be saved. He wants you then to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Amen? And then once you get baptized, God wants you to be a member of that local body of church so you can grow and learn and live your life blessed under the word for the rest of your life. Amen? And ask anybody who's been under the word, say baptized in a local church, just serving the Lord. You ask anybody, there's a lot of blessings involved in that. It's a blessed life. It's a joyful life. Amen. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for the world. When I was born, I was in the church nursery the Sunday after. I wasn't saved. Amen. I wasn't saved. Sinners are welcome to the nursery. Amen. brought me to the nursery. Went in the nursery and I wasn't saved. When I was 13 years old, I got saved, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, got baptized. Then I became a member of that local church. Amen. Thank the Lord. But he said, it doesn't matter what your background is, you get saved the same way as everybody else. Oh, preacher, you just don't understand. There's many roads to heaven. Really? Jesus didn't say that in his word. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, is that the Baptist way? No, it's the Bible way. Amen? It's what God said. You say, can I get to heaven by being good? No, because you sinned. And sin can't get to heaven. Sin has to be forgiven. And that only comes through salvation. But I like what he said here. He said, it don't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, whether you're bond or free. Now, we don't live in a day when there's servants and slaves. We don't know that day. But Bible days, there was echelon, so to speak, or certain classes of people. And there were the bondmen who sometimes, if a person owed a debt, they would go down and they would actually have a piece of metal placed in their ear, and they called it an awl, and that would signify that they were a bond slave. And by the way, the Apostle Paul said, I am a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm like that. That's a good truth. But he said, whether you came from one background or another, you got to get saved the same way. Amen. There's not a multitude of ways. There's not really a multitude of religions, because there's really only two religions in the world, a religion of works and a religion of grace. There's really, that's the only two religions really in the world. You can either work your way there, or you can trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, it doesn't matter if you're bond or free, Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter who you are. We're all made to drink into one spirit. That means the Spirit of God does the saving, does the calling. And let me tell you something. God wants somebody to be under the word where conviction can settle into a person's heart and mind. And they can recognize their need to be saved. Without conviction, there's no conversion. You say, well, I just want to get to heaven. Yeah, well, do you understand that you're a sinner? And do you understand that sin keeps you from God? And that God is willing to forgive your sin if you're willing to come to him? That's a great plan of salvation. Amen. And God said, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're bond or free. And I like what he said in verse 1. Notice he said, or verse 2, he said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. You know, a lot of people look in their past and they see a lot of dumb idols. But thank God, if you're saved, you've been delivered from all those dumb idols. Thank God. Remember those idols who controlled your life, those things you thought were so glorious, so good, that lifestyle we used to live. Thank God it's not in our life today, or it shouldn't be in our life today. Thank God we got a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good life. It's a blessed life. It's a life where there's no dumb idols involved. Hey, listen, maybe you got a dumb idol in your life. That dumb idol won't get you to heaven. It won't get you to heaven. In the Catholic Bible, they have a section in it called the Apocrypha, which is not inspired of God. It has a story in it about, it's called Bell and the Dragon. It's a little book in the Apocrypha, but it's not inspired by God. Man added it. Amen? I'll get a few Catholics complain on the website, but that's okay. They need to hear the truth. Amen. But Belial and the Dragon is a story about a man who went up to an idol and was feeding idols. And he'd come the next day and he'd see the food gone. And so he tested it and he fed the idol and he put flour on the ground leading up to the idol. And the next day he came by to see why the food was gone. And he could see the footprints in the flour that had gone, taken the food. And what he had realized was that it wasn't God, that those idols were just fake and dead. It was some man coming and taking them. And can I tell you what? Idols are dead in our life. You know, there's a lot of idols still around today. People worship money. Let me ask you, when you die, how much of that are you going to take with you? You won't take any of it. You won't take a dime with you to heaven. You won't take a dime with you wherever you are, wherever you go. But Gentiles, he said, you Gentiles were once led away of dumb idols. But then he also talked about the Jews. And he said they thought they were getting to heaven because they were doing all the things of the law. The law. You know, the problem with following the law was that you can't follow it all. And if you offend in one, you offended it all. Nobody can keep the law. That's why Jesus died on the cross. To save those who both were attached to those dumb idols and those who could not fulfill the law. And I don't know where you fall in, maybe somewhere in between. But I'll tell you what, God's grace is good enough to save you. And that grace should do something in your heart and your life. You know, that grace should help you get in a local church and get in and be a part and say, I'm going to be a part of that local church. Because God established that body once you get saved, no matter who you are, that body is for you. It's for a purpose. Notice what he said, verse 13, a few things about this. Or verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Amen? How many fingers do you have?
10.
Unless you're an old carpenter. Right? Then you have 8 and whatever. Unless you're Brother Smith. Right? Unless you're Brother Smith, you got 10. How many of you have 1? Now, how many ears do you have?
2.
By the way, somebody said God gave us 1 mouth and 2 ears to do twice as much listening as we do talking. That's good. Amen. Think about that for a minute. We're not just, there's not one part of our body. We got fingers, toes, hands. I got stain and paint on my hands because I've been doing a dollhouse for my granddaughters this week. It's the old Victorian, but I digress. Amen. I'll come to back that later. But there's just something about having something special for the granddaughters that just tickles my gizzard. Amen. I enjoy it. I have feet, toes, eyes, hands, knees. We're made up of many components. God established a church like that. You know, young people, old people, skinny people, and then people like me. God established it all. Doesn't matter your height, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, your age. God has an important place for you. When I was growing up, we had a little boy that came in. His name was Bruce. And Bruce was Down syndrome. And he came to church. And I'll tell you what, Bruce, he was the fire of the church. When Bruce got happy, everybody got happy. God used that little. You say sometimes, why does God often give make a person, say, retarded or slow or have a physical ailment. I don't know. But you know, I know that God has a purpose for them. And God says, hey, bring them into the body. You know why? Because everybody needs to hear about Christ. Everybody needs to grow in the Lord. And you know, the church isn't just about getting saved and baptized. The church is about planting yourself so you can grow. Amen? Planting so you can grow in the Lord. Because growth will eventually bring production. Amen? Growth will bring production. So that's what God's saying. God's saying you got a part. You got a part in it. You have a part. Because we've all been saved by that same Spirit. But now he looks at verse 15 and he says, sometimes some say, what's my part? Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's a crazy question. The foot says, I'm just way down here doing nothing. By the way, those are beautiful feet. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I'd take my shoes off and my sock off and show you. But you might not agree with me. We'll just leave it as it is so there's no disagreement. Amen? But there it is. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel? It's because they carry the gospel. Or they should. Amen. But should that foot say, I'm not of the body? Well, take that foot and chop it off then. And see what happens. You'd be walking around a little hard part. And sometimes that person's body says, hey, I'm nothing. I'm insignificant. Who am I? Let me tell you something. God's planted you for a purpose that you can grow and be productive. Amen. You know, sometimes like that verse intimates is that sometimes that foot says, I'm not getting seen enough, or I'm not getting enough attention, or I'm not getting enough this, or I'm not getting enough that, like that foot. Let me tell you something. God wants every person to have a part and play that part in that church. That's what God wants. Amen. If the foot shall say, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is there therefore not of the body? That's kind of a dumb question, but it makes a good point. Ears say, I'm not an eye. I can't see. But the eye can't hear either. You know, the point is that everybody can do something to fulfill the needs of that entire church. Amen. The foot says to the eye, you get a lot more attention than I do. The foot says to the mouth, you get a lot more attention than I do than just put your foot in your mouth. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say we need to find a place that we fit. That God can use us to grow. Amen. Not everybody fulfills the same part, but it should not discourage the one who does not fulfill every other part. You say, I can't sing. It's all right. You can do something. You can do something. You say, I can't preach. Well, you can do something. You can do something. See, God's made the body for us to be a part of, be productive. And you know, when you're not a part of that body, you're missed. Amen. Well, that old devil, he'll pull you away. He starts on Wednesday night. Starts pulling you away on Wednesday night. Then Sunday night. Then Sunday school. And before long, you're not hardly going at all. I'll tell you something. You have a part in that body. And God wants you to be a faithful part of that body. Don't say, I can't be used. Let me tell you something. That's like a body that Let's get up tomorrow morning, go to work, and let's let your foot say, I think I'm not going to work today. And your hand says, you know, I'm kind of tired too. I really don't want to drive very much. And so my hand says, I'm going to stay at home today. Okay, well, I'm going to work today. I don't have a hand and I don't have a foot. So we're going to go to work today. Well, the eye says, you know what? I could use some shut eye. I'm on a roll today, folks. Amen. I could use some shut eye. Amen. And the ear says, I really don't want to hear that. You know, one of our individual part of our body, our leg, our foot, went on strike. You say you couldn't get anything done. That's the point God's trying to make in the church. Amen. And God says, hey, you are needed to fulfill your place in that church, because if you're not, it's like your body went on strike. It's like your foot said, nope, I'm not going anywhere today. Can you take it off and put it on somewhere? No. It just takes away from the body. So God's people need a conviction about the church. Amen? I go to church because I love it. I go to church because I thank God for it. God established it. But I want to tell you something. I go to church too because I have a conviction about it. And that makes it different. Because there are some times when you say, do you ever not want to go to church? Yeah, when it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I wake up from my nap on Sunday afternoon. Now, come on, I know y'all are the same way as me. And you say, I don't know. The football game's on. Hey, let me tell you something. God said, just be in my church. Be a part of it. Because it's a body. God created it. God put it together. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? He's saying you have a productive purpose in the place that you fill. The whole verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Who put you there? God. I always ask somebody when they want to join the church, have you prayed? Has God led you? Has God led you? I want God to place them. Amen. I believe God ought to be the one placing them. Because the old devil, he can place somebody in there too. Amen. We know he does. We don't need that. We need God. God placing them as it hath pleased him. See, your place in God's body is a place that pleases him. Amen. And it doesn't, if you found an area of service, just be faithful to it. Just be faithful to it. You say, oh, preacher, sometimes I don't feel like driving that van. Well, welcome to the crowd. But you get up, that whole body gets up, that body goes and drives that van, brings those kids to church. Thank the Lord. And by the way, it's those times when you don't feel like it that you make yourself do it, that you get the greatest blessings. Amen. It pleases him. It pleases him. I had a man tell me one time, well, I can please Jesus but not go to church. I said, how can you do that? By disobeying his command. How does that please him? Amen. And by the way, the right kind of church. The right doctrinally straight church, a church with the right kind of standards and beliefs and practice and music. Because the problem today is the world is blending with the church, and the church is blending with the world so much you can't tell the difference anymore. God said there should be a difference. A difference. Is there a difference? There should be. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Now here's how it works. God takes the body and he does what he calls tempers it together. He tempers it together. You ever done that? You ever melt steel or two different kinds of metals? You melt them together, mix them up, you create a different metal. I don't know much about that. But I'm told it can be done. You take metal, you temper together. Two metals become one. They become this bond. Or like a welder. He welds steel together. He's bonding two pieces of steel. That, you know, God's people should be bonded with each other. There should be a bond with God's people. Amen? You should be bonded. I was worried about somebody who kind of wants to get off on their own. They're doing their own thing. I worry about them because that's not the intent that God had. The intent was that God put that body together and it's tempered together. And that foot says, I need you, hand. And that hand says, I need you, eye. And that eye says, I need the ear. And it all works together for the glory of God. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing. And by the way, we ought to thank God for it because God did it. God put it together. It's not something man thought up. Man's too dumb to think up such amazing, wonderful things. But God, with God, all things are possible. And he takes all these things. And he says, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. A schism? What's a schism? You see, I had one of them in my foot one time. That's not what it's talking about. Schism. It's saying division. God's saying there shouldn't be division. Amen? You know, two people can disagree about the same thing and still not have division. If your spirit's right and you act right and you do the right thing. Amen? Amen. You know, my wife and I are one, but I'll promise you, we don't always think the same. She's wrong and I'm right. Yeah. Right? We don't always think the same. But as you grow older, you learn to appreciate that because she sees things I don't. And I see nothing. She sees it all. No, I'm simply saying there's a place that everybody has. And when somebody sees something maybe a little different, it may not be unbiblical. And by the way, if it's biblical, that's the test. It should be everything done biblically. But if you know, if you have a little difference of opinion, well, I like blue, well, I like green. You know, God says there shouldn't be a division. There should be care one for another. Care one for another. I tell you, my heart went out to Miss Glendola. I was visiting her yesterday. And she was in the room and she's laying there. And all of a sudden she gets these, like a horrible headache in her right eye and in her head. And I mean, it is almost a screaming pain that she endures. And it was horrible to see her in that way. She had her pull the nurse button and no nurse came. That got me mad. But no nurse came. And it subsided and she kind of laid down. We prayed. It kind of subsided, but boy, she was hurting. And you know, I couldn't help but ask, when I walked out of there, I said, Lord, would you one time give me one of those pains that she had in my eye and take away that one pain out of hers? Would you do that? Because I just kind of felt like a part of that. And I don't know, but, you know, I think there should be care one for another in a church. When somebody's needy, when somebody needs prayer, when somebody's in the hospital, when somebody's burdened, when somebody shares with you a trouble or a burden in their life, you know, you ought to pray for them and keep that confidential and pray for them. But have a care. Have a care one for another. That's what a church is. Amen? That's what a church is. You know, sometimes, and I'm for big churches. You know, the big church was in Jerusalem. The church was a very large church, the Church of Jerusalem. Thank God for it. But it doesn't matter the size. The size should be where people care for each other. That's the biblical way. That's the intent of the church. It's not everyone looks after themselves. That's the philosophy that the world has. The world has this idea, you take care of yourself. Never has been a more unhappy mentality in all your life. If the only person you take care of in life is you, I guarantee you, you'll be unhappy. Get out of yourself sometimes and find somebody who's got a burden or a trouble and pour your heart into them. You'll be surprised how happy you get. Amen. Take somebody else a meal or do something for somebody else. Sometimes we just get this tunnel vision in our own life. We just look at ourselves. I'm saying to you today, God didn't make the church that way. God didn't make the church that way. God made a church to be alive. He made a church for preaching. He made it for us to grow. He made it for us to learn, to live life, to have a part in it, to use our life for a productive way. You know, whenever somebody does something successful, it's because of a culmination of the entire body being involved in it. You notice that? Whenever somebody does something, you get up and sing a special and a solo, and it's a blessing. Do you realize that your whole body had to be involved in that special? What if your eye said, I'm not going up there to sing? Or your foot said, I'm not. No, the whole body gets involved. The whole body's a part of it. I'm saying to you, there's something you can do. There's something that you can do for the Lord. It may not be to preach, it may not be to sing or to play an instrument, but God has a place that He puts you in, and He wants you to be a part of that. Serve it faithfully. Find your place and be faithful. Faithfulness is the number one characteristic of a Christian. Just be faithful. Faithfulness is filled with blessings. The Bible reminds us the faithful man shall abound with blessings. You say, preacher, I haven't been very faithful. Well, you can start today. You start today. You start right now. You say, it's hard for me. God will help you. God will help you. You say, that's easy for other people. At one time, it wasn't. One time, it wasn't. But they stuck with it. We're faithful. Thank God for their church. Thank God for His people. Because this is a body where God has created for us. But can I tell you one thing that is the most wonderful thing I think about a church body? Is that when everybody works together, people get saved. The lost world cannot stand against the church that works together to see them saved. Oh, I see those missionaries that we're supporting. What a joy, what a blessing. That's a part of it. And we're supposed to be reaching into all the world. And we're supposed to be reaching into right here, Moore, Oklahoma. Reaching everywhere. Not leaving any Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world out. But to reach them all. That's the joy of a church. Because you see, when that church goes out, maybe one person can't talk to somebody, but maybe somebody else can. Years ago, I was soul winning. started my first church in the woods of back hills of Oregon. I mean, there's some scary folks out there. They had different kinds of folks, and I didn't know how to talk to them. I thought I did. But I went soul winning with this older fellow named Stan Wilcox. Stan's in heaven now. But Stan told me, he said, "Preacher, I was in the Army." He said, "When I got out of the Army, I never wore a tie again." He said, "I don't tuck my shirt in either." I said, "Okay." But he looked nice. He had a good appearance. Old Stan walked out. We went soul winning. I tried to talk to somebody, and I couldn't get through. And then old Stan started talking. And I don't know what it was, but I just kind of took a step back. I said, "Stan, you do the talking." "Oh, preacher, you can talk." "Well, your talking is better than my talking." And old Stan talked to people. They come to church, hear the gospel, and come get saved. I'm simply saying, God can use anybody if you're willing. If you're willing. If you're willing. You know, there are some places that a person can't fill because of a biblical requirement. That's true. There are some places a person cannot fill in a church because of a biblical requirement. And the Bible trumps everything we do, right? Yeah. It's our sole authority. Yeah. But there's many, many places that God's people can be used and should be used if we say, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing." You have to be willing. Have to be willing. Maybe some more you say, "Preacher, I have part. God's convicted me. That part that I'm playing is not the part that I am fulfilling faithfully." May I say to you today, God wants you to. God wants you to find that place that God has for you and fulfill it with all the faithfulness you can muster. Because that's what's going to make a difference. Don't say, "Oh, I'll skip out here." Don't let the foot go on strike. Serve God faithfully. Are you finding your place? Are you growing in that place? Are you planted? That's what God wants. He set those in the body as it hath pleased him. I say this morning, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, why don't you yield to God today? Say, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing." Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.